We will now hear the priceless speech made by the late Dr. T.B. Jaya at Zaire College in February 1958.
Mr. Principal, ladies and gentlemen, I am happy to be in your midst this evening. It gives me special pleasure to meet the students, the teachers, the well-wishers, and the past pupils of the college where I spent the best years of my life. When I followed my connection with the college to join the first cabinet for independent Ceylon and later to take up a diplomatic assignment as High Commissioner of Pakistan, I never felt that I had ceased our connection with the college. I'm sure you will all understand and appreciate my feelings of joy today. My mind goes back to 1st September 1921, when I took charge of this college with 6 teachers and 39 boys, described by the Education Department as an elementary school requiring immediate attention. My faith in the paramount importance of Muslim education for the regeneration of the Muslim community to play its legitimate role as an integral part of the Sudanese nation overcame all obstacles. And in 1948, when circumstances forced me to move on to another sphere of national activity, I was anxious to find a successor in whose hands the future of Zaire College would be safe, and under whose direction the possibilities of progress will be unlimited. The successor who will most meet the situation created by free education, the enormous increase of students, and the impending educational changes in the country. It was no easy task. Scholarship, administrative experience, faith in the future of the Muslim community, spiritual service in the best sense of the word, these qualities I considered as essential. I passed many anxious moments till I succeeded in persuading Mr. A.M.A. Aziz to give up an awarding career in the civil service for national service, with great possibilities of achievement, which his talent specially fitted him. He had already shown promise of what could be expected of him by the great confidence placed in him by Prime Minister D.F. Senanayake. And by the last measure of success, his Muslim scholarship scheme achieved while he was still a civil servant. It did not take long for Mr. Aziz to make his influence and presence felt as principal. He entered on his duties as to the manner born. During the last 9 years, he has not only maintained the college at its highest level, but has won a recognized place among the educationists of the country. It is most gratifying to me that he evinced special interest in the educational activities of the country, especially in the teachers' associations and similar organizations. I am credibly informed that he made an immediate impression as president of the All Ceylon Teachers Union. It was in the thickness of things that he should have become a senator to be able to take part in the larger life of the country in the interest of education. It is evident that under Mr. Aziz's principalship, the college has made large strides of progress in all directions. Zahira College holds students in and out of Ceylon, especially in Karachi, a full of enthusiasm for the college and for the work Mr. Aziz is doing to raise Zahira high among the great colleges of the island. Ceylon is fortunate in the religious composition of her people. All the influence which goes to make a great nation, the combined influence of four great religions, has raised Ceylon to a unique position which can be maintained at the highest level only Buddhist, Hindu, Christian and Muslim schools so conducted and regulated that the children will have ample opportunity of growing up in a religious atmosphere and in sympathy with one another's religious ideas. The object of Zahira is Muslim education. It does not mean exclusiveness or hostility to other religions or a lack of sympathy with those who think differently. Muslim education should grab hallmark of scholarship and character, just appreciation of what is great and noble and of what is fair and equitable. Muslim education should foster patriotic devotion to one's country, keen solicitude for public welfare, and unbounded sympathy for the less fortunate. If Buddhist, Hindu, and Christian schools are motivated by similar ideals, as they actually do, the products of these different schools should vie with one another as to the best they could serve their country and their fellow men. If education is directed on right lines, if its chief aim is to produce men and women of character and high ideals, all the ills the country is suffering from will disappear overnight. It is no use blaming the government. It is no use blaming the weather. It is no use blaming foreign exploitation. It is no use attributing our difficulties to imaginary ills. The right type of men and women, honest and true and unselfish, animated by spirits of service, can alone clear the atmosphere and save the country. Be it academic education or practical education or university education or mass education, be it the question of one or more languages as a state language, be it the question of switch over to one language overnight, be the question of capitalism, socialism, or communism, is it not possible to reach conclusion in a realistic and dignified manner without resort to the law of the jungle? In ultimate analysis, it is education and educational institutions which can produce an answer. Speaking as a Muslim, I have no hesitation in saying that Islam provides the panacea for the evil which humankind is suffering from. According to Islam, there is nothing which we can call our own. There is nothing for the proper use of which we are not responsible. If it works, it is not ours to do what we like with it. We are answerable for its proper use. We are not commoners, but only trustees. It is especially so in the case of learning of art. If you have learning and do not use it properly, and if you have power and ability, you are equally answerable to God. If the management and the principal fail to do their best by the school and students, they are answerable. So too the teacher. The students are equally answerable if they do not work hard and strive after the best. The Islamic ideals of life are properly understood, there is no fear that difficulties will remain long unsolved. If results are criteria of which what the principal and teachers and the students have done, the learn with the successes without by the principal supplies the answer. The principal feels the immediate need to carry out his short-term and long-term plan to help forward the rapid progress of the school. The duty staff and the wealthy men and women of the community to be true to their trust. They will be answerable to Allah if the progress of the college is affected even in the slightest degree. Considering how generously the late Mr. N.B. Abdul Ghafoor and the late Mr. P.B. Ulbichi and other public spirited Muslims affect the college in the past, I can confidently appeal to the principal not to despair. The community cannot afford to let him down. They are only too conscious of the important work he is doing. All the men and women, he said, all of them, at least some of them, know their religion enough, at least to fear Allah. In common with the rest of the world, Iran is passing through a crisis, and events are moving so fast that the safest policy for the world is to fear God and do the right. In the concluding portion of his interesting report, the principal has referred to a subject which is agitating the public mind. He has pointed out the correct approach in dealing with it. No useful purpose is served by indulging in mutual recrimination. We have no right to question the motives of those who advocate a certain line of action. We must presume that those who are making out a case for state schools are equally sincere with those who plead for the retention and continuation of denominational schools. Calling each other names does not lead to the solution of the problem. Both sides recognize the importance of religion and religious instruction. It is felt that denominational schools place certain communities at a disadvantage, owing to the birth of Buddhist, Muslim, and Hindu schools, providing the necessary facilities. Christian schools are said to be at an advantage and attract pupils of other denominations. This is not a problem to give it ground. In Karachi, the capital of Pakistan, Catholic high schools, Anglican high schools, Parsi high schools are much superior to any Muslim high school and naturally attract large numbers of Muslim children. In one case, the authorities for one important Catholic school, in order to provide additional accommodation to meet the needs of large exceptional students, appealed to me to act as chairman of the committee to collect the necessary funds. I saw no objection to the proposal if I was assured that Muslim children would be granted permission to receive instruction in Islam during 2 hours. As the necessary assurance was not forthcoming, I regretted my inability to serve as chairman. I believe similar difficulties exist here. The right of parents to send their children to any school they please is beyond question. And the law compels admission of all children, irrespective of religious consideration. State schools can provide thorough religious instruction, but the absence of religious atmosphere makes all the difference. I cannot conceive of a Muslim student's religious training without a Muslim religious atmosphere, which is possible only in Muslim schools. My strongest objection to state schools, however, is that the teacher will be fitted the official grammars and will be the least fitted to turn out the free citizens of a free country. In this connection, I should like to quote an extract from the report I presented at Principal of Zahira College at the college prize giving held on the 15th of February 1948. And the comments made thereon by the Prime Minister, Honorable Mr. Sabya Bandara Naika, then as leader of the House of Representatives, he deputized for Governor General Lord Holbury on the occasion. The extract from my report and the comments by the Honorable Mr. Bandara Naika thereon speak for themselves. This is what I said. Then, there has been much controversy between the denominational schools and the state. Ours is a denominational school established for the purpose of providing an educational environment in which the spirit and the culture of Islam will inspire and guide our people. We believe that it is only in a characteristically Muslim atmosphere that our pupils could obtain most from life and give most to life. Imbued with the culture, the tradition, and the spirit of the great religion we profess, our pupils, we are certain, will face life with that characteristic confidence and sense of duty that only an education with its roots in rich religious experience could ever produce. We are no quarrel with the state, but it is obviously the duty of the state to use these institutions already in existence for the realization of a fundamental social need. Honorable Mr. Bandara Naika, commenting on my report, said, I have listened with much pleasure and interest to the principal master report and find a confirmation of many of the theories I have myself held. I refer first to the need for religion in any scheme of education. He says that education stratifies itself if religion is not permitted to play its special part. I myself have felt that education should be conducted in a truly religious atmosphere, so that the pursuit of knowledge should result in the development of men of character and worth. Men of worth and character could only be produced in a truly religious atmosphere, and I am glad to find confirmation of my belief in the practice as Zahira. My faith in the necessity of a Muslim school has been greatly strengthened, but what I have found here after my return from Pakistan and by the encouraging progress made by Zahira colleges in Gampala, Awudgama, Mahapala and Kutlam, thanks to the past students of this college and other public spirited Muslims who nurtured in Islamic traditions attach great importance to religious training and religious experience. I did not fully realize when in 1941, after the Japanese raid of Colombo and the closure of educational establishment in the city, appeals to Muslim parents in the far-flung Muslim areas and well-wishers of Zahira College to help me in the establishment of Zahira branch colleges, the areas are mentioned to meet the immediate and urgent needs of the community. The colleges brought into being in these circumstances have come to stay and have already contributed to the educational uplift of the Muslim community. While on this subject, and before I conclude, I feel it my duty to pose the question whether it is not time, in view of the changes taking place in the country, to take steps the establishment of a Muslim university. While we welcome the conversion of two well-known Pirivanas into universities, the Hindu and Christian universities in the making, we Muslims will be failing in our duty, even mindful of the inspiring lead Muslims have given the world in higher and university education. We look on with full bounds on the rapidly developing situation in the country, which may leave us out of the reckoning as nationals worthy of consideration and attention in any scheme of national reconstruction. While congratulating Zahira College on the great achievement of our students in the last year in the classroom, in the playing fields, in the firing line, and in other directions, I wish to express my hope Zahira will, under the leadership of the principal and the helpful cooperation or the management, right higher and higher, and in cooperation with other Zahira colleges, make possible the establishment of a Muslim university, enable the Muslim community to play a worthy part as builders of new philosophy.